First, the campaign websites for both President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden encourage supporters to be poll watchers on Election Day. So right now we're taking a look at what the law is in Wisconsin and how the practice works around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a poll watcher? What got you involved? What was the experience like? What do you think people should know about the practice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Reed Magny is the Public Information Officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
What does it take to be a poll watcher in Wisconsin?
Anybody can be a poll watcher, and poll watchers are welcome. Basically, find a polling place you are interested in observing at and show up on Election Day. Nobody has to send you. Nobody has to train you. Nobody has to appoint you. But once you're there, you need to follow the directions that you get from the chief inspector. The chief inspector at that polling place is in charge, and show up, find the chief inspector. They'll ask you for an ID, they'll ask you to sign in, and they'll tell you where to sit. And so you go there and you sit and you observe. It's different than some other states where you have to be, you have to get training or you have to be appointed by someone.
Can you lay out some of the do's and don'ts for me if I'm a poll watcher?
Sure. So the biggest do is don't cause a disturbance. If you cause a disturbance, you're going to be asked to leave, or at least warned to, to cut it out. And if you don't, you'll be asked to leave. And if you don't leave, law enforcement will come. That said, you can certainly be using your cell phone, but don't be talking on it. Do not take pictures or video of voters coming in. Do not be interacting with voters. You're not there to talk to them. That's the poll worker's job. Don't be telling poll workers how to do their jobs. Don't be in their business. If you see something that you think isn't right, go and talk to the chief inspector. Tell the chief inspector about it, and they will deal with it.
And what kind of things would a poll watcher typically raise as a concern if they're doing it right to that chief inspector?
Well, if you do know that here's an example. Somebody comes in and they don't ask the person for a photo ID. Don't get up and say, hey, wait a minute, that person has to do it. Go talk to the chief inspector about it, right? So that would be one example. If you have specific knowledge that a person who comes to vote is not qualified because they're not a U.S. citizen, because they're not at least 18, or they don't live at the place where they say they live, then you can actually challenge that voter. I will tell you, this challenge process that's allowed in state law almost never happens, but it is possible. And then they'll get the chief inspector. They'll hold almost a little mini hearing there.
Now, election security and safety, those are issues on people's minds. We've seen the Michigan state government put forward a rule saying no firearms within a certain distance of polling location. Can people expect any kind of law enforcement presence in Wisconsin? And what guidance, if any, is the Elections Commission providing to election officials about de-escalation techniques or the possibility of openly carried firearms at the polls?
So at polling places, the rules about firearms are really governed by state law and local ordinances, just like at any school where you might go and see, you might see that there's a sign on the door that says no firearms allowed, or something like that. It's really covered by local ordinances or local building owners. And we're in the process of providing some guidance to our clerks, just some basics about how those laws work, what to do if there are issues. We really encourage clerks to work with their law enforcement to be there, in case there's an issue. Now, that said, there should not be like uniformed police stationed at polling places. That's potentially intimidating to some voters. And so that shouldn't happen. Also, you're not going to see any, you know, people, you know, like National Guard people in uniform or anything like that. That just doesn't happen here. And especially with the National Guard, it can't happen with them being there in uniform. But you know, we do not have the ability to make any rules about firearms or things like that at polling places. The state law doesn't give us that any of that authority.
I know in some states, poll watchers may also watch the counting of ballots. Is that something people can do in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So the counting of ballots, usually ballots are counted by you mark your ballot, you put it into the machine, and then it sits there. The machine obviously takes note of your records your votes electronically. Then usually at 8 o'clock when the polls close, assuming that all the absentee ballots have been counted, we can talk about that in a minute. But at 8 o'clock, what happens then is that there's an actual public meeting, and it's called the Board of Local Canvassers, and anybody can be there. You can you can watch them as they switch the machine from or into what's known as reporting mode, and it's going to print out sort of a long cash register type receipt with the official results on it. And they're going to read those results aloud, and you can be there for that. You can be there watching them, doing their what's known as reconciliation, making sure that they have the same number of voters as they do ballots. You can all of that is observable. Even if you want to take out your cell phone and take a picture of those results that come out of the tape of the machine, you can have that, and then you can go to your county's website later in the evening and see, okay, for Ward 13, it said that this was the totals, and yeah, this matches up. So the correct results got to the correct place.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Reed, you mentioned those absentee ballots or early vote ballots. There are going to be a lot of them this year. How do they get counted?
They get counted the same way as other ballots, usually. So in most places in the state, absentee ballots are counted at the polling place where the voter would have normally voted. There's about 39 cities, villages, and towns, including big ones like Milwaukee and Green Bay, not Madison, by the way, that count their ballots at a central location. And they do it using high-speed scanners and other things like that. Those places are also open, and you can be an observer there, or you can, show up at 8 o'clock. But they can't start counting those ballots until 7 in the morning. And so it could take all day and into the evening to do that, and maybe Reed, the next morning.
Reed, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome.
Magny is the public information officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He talked with us about Wisconsin's laws around poll watching. Coming up, we'll take a look at the national picture when it comes to poll watching. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done this? Been a poll watcher before? What was that like? What made you decide to take part? Do you have concerns about how it'll work in this election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about poll watching now. Rebecca Green joins us, professor at William & Mary Law School and co-director of the school's election law program. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we just heard the scene here in Wisconsin, but things are different from one state to another. What kind of stories are you watching around the country when it comes to poll watching?
Yeah, well, I think the important thing, first of all, to stress about poll watching is that it's an incredibly important function in our democracy, right? Partisan mistrust has always been a central feature of American elections, and state transparency regimes address those concerns by ensuring that campaigns and candidates and members of the public can observe elections at all stages. And, from what you just heard from the elections office in Wisconsin, that's certainly the case in Wisconsin, where anyone can go and observe our elections. So around the country, we're seeing I just talked to someone here in Virginia who spent his morning watching the absentee ballot processing. So I think this is particularly this year, people are very engaged and hoping to observe and make sure that things are being done correctly. So I expect to see high volumes even during a pandemic.
there have been concerns in the past, and I know some people have raised them this year, about poll watchers intimidating voters or creating disruptions at polling stations. Is this something we typically see, though?
So I think in the past there have been isolated incidents of things like that happening. But I think it's important to stress that federal and state law imposes criminal penalties for voter intimidation. It's illegal to intimidate, threaten, or coerce a person or attempt to do so for the purpose of interfering with that person's right to vote. And so, if we see an increased incidence of that this year, that doesn't make it any less illegal. And I think across the country, I think poll workers are being trained on what people can and can't do. And there's going to be a lot of attention to making sure that people follow the rules.
As we heard from Reed Magny with the Wisconsin Elections Division, you can go in on Election Day and sign up to be a poll watcher. That is not necessarily the case in every state, though, right?
No, not at all. So a lot of states have, they require you to be a party appointed or sometimes campaign or candidate appointed observer. So you have to kind of go through an appointment process, and you're on a list, and you show up, and if you're not on the list, you can't be a poll watcher. Some states have training where they require people who've been appointed to go through some kind of training so they understand what they can and can't do on election day or whenever they're observing. So it's a varying degree of formality depending on the state that you're in.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Margaret is with us in Middleton. Margaret, hi.
Hi. I am calling as a former candidate poll watcher a number of years ago, and we used to listen for the name and address of individuals because they're required to give their name and address when they come to get their ballot. And then if at the end of the day, and we would have a list of, folks that had identified as supporters of that candidate. And if that name, hadn't voted by late afternoon, they'd get a call from the candidate, encouraging them to vote, to get out the vote. And I don't know that I have seen that happen in recent years, and I wondered if it was still legal and why candidates aren't doing that anymore.
Margaret, thanks a lot for sharing your experience there. I don't know the specifics of Wisconsin law on that, but is that a use sometimes of poll watching to see if your people are your voters have made it in to vote yet?
As she was talking, I was having fond memories. I grew up in New Hampshire, and that we certainly did that in New Hampshire. So I think there are many states where people use the opportunity to figure out whether their voters have gotten to the polls. And so it's certainly something that happens. And I don't know the law in Wisconsin either in terms of whether that's illegal or legal in Wisconsin these days. But it's certainly a practice that lots of campaigns have engaged in over the years.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Noah in Rice Lake. Noah, hello.
Yeah, I'm a poll worker, and the material that we were given about poll watchers, one thing you have to have is you have to have a mask. Otherwise, you could be asked to leave. Thank you.
Interesting. Noah, thanks a lot for sharing that. Rebecca, how are we dealing with the pandemic when it comes to poll watchers having some extra people in these inside spaces?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And this year, being an observer in at the polling place is going to be a little bit trickier because of social distancing and the need to wear masks. And I think election officials are going to have to spend a lot of time. I'm sure they've already spent a lot of time planning, how to ensure that there are ways for people to observe, but to do so safely. And so I think you'll see a lot of attention to that issue. And certainly, anyone who signs up to be a poll watcher will have to abide by those rules very strictly. I would think that any infractions will result in you getting kind of booted from the polling place as people are concerned about safety and voting.
Thanks, Noah, for calling in. Kim joins us now in Eau Claire. Kim, hello.
Hello. Thanks for the program. I was called by a man from New York to ask to be a poll watcher. and that there would be some webinar training. And I just was wondering if you've heard of that. I would have thought people from Wisconsin would have been calling people from Wisconsin to get poll watchers to volunteer.
And to be clear, Kim, they wanted you to go to New York and watch a poll, or somebody in New York wanted you to watch a poll here in Wisconsin?
Somebody from New York, he said he was a lawyer, that he volunteered to call people to get them to be poll watchers in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, okay. Not asking you to hit the road. Thanks for clarifying that. Now, I know our laws in Wisconsin, you can actually be from another state and be a poll watcher in Wisconsin, and the organizing of those efforts could come from anywhere, I guess, Rebecca.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think this year, you know, everyone's stuck at home and wanting to do something. And so I think you're getting a lot of this, what can I do on the phone? And one of the things you can do is you can help recruit either poll workers or poll watchers in other states. And both are obviously really important functions in our election to make sure that there are enough polling stations open so that everyone who wants to vote can, and also to make sure that there's enough transparency to ensure that the public has confidence in the results. So I think both of those roles are really important, and I'm not surprised to hear that there's people on the phones trying to recruit people for those roles.
Kim, thanks a lot for calling in, and Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Rebecca Green is professor of the practice of law and co-director of the election law program at William & Mary Law School. She talked with us today about how poll watching works around the country. We heard earlier from Reed Magny with the state's election division, looking at how poll watching works and what to expect on election day.